Our next presenter is Dr. Mary Jane O'Brien, and she is a school nurse in the Boston Public Schools, where she's worked for the past 23 years. She's a recent PhD graduate in nursing from the University of Massachusetts. Her dissertation study examined the association of school wellness policy and school nurse activities to childhood obesity. She's the president of the Massachusetts School Nurse Research Network, which is a practice-based research network committed to providing evidence that improves child health through through nursing research. Welcome, Dr. O'Brien.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all for being here. Great to be on this panel. A wonderful display by up-and-coming nurse that I love to see because, as the last speaker just said, we need you all to come up and take over for us in a few years. So today I'm happy to be here to talk to you about my dissertation study, which was the Associations of School Wellness Policy and School Nurse Activities. This was important to me because I've been a school nurse for 23 years. And so I'm going to spend some time today looking at some background to why I felt my study was important to do, because certainly doing a data analysis of secondary data, I wanted to make sure that data was about school nurses and school nurse activities. So I have nothing to disclose, nothing at all. I wish I did. So I'm going to spend a few minutes on background, because before you can really understand what my study was about, I need to tell you about some background in legislation and in school nursing. So it's important to know that my study was conducted in Massachusetts. I looked at data that we collect in Massachusetts around school nurse activities and data that it collected from Massachusetts around implementation of the school wellness policy. So a couple of things you have to know about Massachusetts is that in the 1990s, two really critical things happened. The first was we had education reform, which made it mandatory for school nurses to have a BSN as entry. So a Bachelor of Science in Nursing as entry is very, very different from the model that you may see across the country, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So in Massachusetts, it's BSN. We also got some funding for the Department of Public Health, and since we're talking today about partnerships with public health, this was a great example of it. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health got tobacco settlement money, and they made competitive grants available to school districts who wanted to enhance their health delivery services. So this was called the Enhanced School Health Services grant, and there were stringent requirements of those grants. We have to fill out all of these surveys. We have to fill out surveys about the screenings that we do, the surveillance that we do, policy implementation that is done. We also have to fill out surveys about the kinds of cases that come into our office, medications, accidents, injury reports. So there's a lot of paperwork involved in this, but the paperwork translates to data. And data are really important if you want to prove anything. So, and especially for the evidence base that we need for our practices. So also in the surveys is a lot about staffing and nursing leadership. In order to get a grant from the Department of Public Health in the Enhanced School Health Survey, Enhanced School Health Services grant, you need to have a nurse leader who takes full financial responsibility of the grant. So I was a grant manager for Boston, and I had a $3 million grant that I had to manage for schools in Boston in terms of their health service delivery. So that was huge for me, considering as a school nurse in Boston, for 660 students, my budget for the year is less than $200. So this was huge, huge, huge to me. So that was in 2001. I had $3 million, and today my budget is less than $200 for my particular school because I am a school nurse in a school of 660 kids. So when I look at the secondary data analysis that I did, it was using the data from the school nurse surveys. And those data are available online to anyone through the Department of Public Health, Massachusetts School Health Unit. So today I'm going to talk about my research study that I did for my dissertation. I'm a recent graduate, 2012, from UMass Boston. And so we're going to talk about the aim and hypothesis. This is just one bit of my dissertation, so just one aim, a couple of hypotheses, and look quick at the literature since my colleagues before me have covered so much of it, and unit of analysis, the data sources, I've alluded to the sample, definitions of my variables, results, limitations, and the public health implications for this. So the aim of this secondary data analysis was an examination of the Massachusetts Essential School Health Services school districts. And I was going to look for associations between the school implementation of the school wellness policy and the percent of reduction in obesity in Massachusetts school children between the school years of 2005-2006 and then 3 years later in 2008-2009. I also wanted to look at the level of school nurse activities and that association with the absolute change in the percent of students with BMI in the obese weight category between those years. So there were two things that I was looking at, implementation of the wellness policy and the school nurse activities. So with the first hypothesis, I don't want to get repetitive, but to just play it out, higher levels of implementation of the school wellness policy will be associated with the higher absolute change in the percent of students with BMI in the obese weight category while controlling for the baseline, that weight, that BMI measurement that was taken in the 2005-2006 school year, income, race, and geographic location. The second hypothesis had to do with the school nurse activities. Higher levels of school nurse activities will be associated with the higher absolute change in the percent of students with BMI in the obese weight category. So I don't want to bore you with the lit review, and fortunately we've had some things in front of us, some people in front of us that have gone through all of this in CDC definition of obesity. There are four weight categories when you look at BMIs, the underweight, normal weight, overweight, and obese, as the first speaker spoke of today. I don't have to get into how big a public health problem it is because of my colleagues speaking of it. We don't have to really talk too much about effective treatment because we don't know a whole lot about what effective treatment is. We do know that effective treatment will include some policy, some public health policy, and we do know that there will be support for school-based interventions. The school wellness policy was first enacted under the National School Lunch Act in 2004, and in that act of 2004, which was a reauthorization of acts from 1966, but in the reauthorization in 2004, the mandate was laid for school wellness policy to be implemented in every school across the country by the year 2006. And we know that there are various rates of implementation of that. That's been proven most recently in a huge study undertaken by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation in 2010 that proved beyond a doubt that there were variations in implementation. In 2010, right in the middle of my dissertation, the law changed, and the National School Lunch Act was repealed and replaced with the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. Michelle Obama was the huge champion of that. And the wellness policy mandate was maintained, but there was also a more stringent requirement around the coordinator of the school wellness policy, and there were mandates around evaluation of progress and also around nutritional standards. So with every time it's reauthorized, the wellness policy gets a little stronger. So that's really typical of public health. We pass something and then we hope over years it will become more refined and better and better. The CDC recommended that the coordinated school health program be the model for the school wellness policy so that we would have standardization across the country, so that we could look at how the policy was being implemented in schools and that we could have some standardization so that we could compare the outcomes in different schools around how the policy was implemented. Another thing that I really wanted to review were school nurse activities. Robert Wood Johnson said the future of nursing, charting the future of nursing brief in 2010 was on school nursing. And what was said in that huge brief was that in addition to population health, school nurses are responsible for all of this. And I was really happy as a school nurse that first aid was last, because there are so many more things that school nurses do, and yet I frequently hear about first aid. If you look at the NASN.org, you will see lots of implications for how a school nurse should implement the wellness policy and what the role of the school nurse should be around that. One of the things that's really important for the previous colleague who just spoke was school nurse staffing. There are variations in school nurse staffing across this country, and in a study by Mon, who is speaking here many times at this conference, she looked at staffing across the nation in Vermont, one school nurse to 298 kids, in Utah, one school nurse per 5,822 kids. So when you do a survey of 1,000 nurses in the United States, it's difficult to know what the delivery model is. There are recommendations from NASN around that, but the average U.S. ratio is one nurse to 1,151 students in 2.2 schools. I have two schools, 660 kids. They also go off campus for gym. So there's three buildings that I run between. The types of delivery models are public health versus school district paid nurses. In Newton, Massachusetts, it's a public health model. In Boston, Massachusetts, it's the school district pays for the school nurse. The use of unlicensed assistive personnel, like medical assistants, and school-based health centers, which provide primary care within the school building. When you have this kind of variation, there's inconsistencies in how state policies are complied with. There's also challenges in research efforts to link school nurse practice with school health and educational outcomes. It's also known that when the school nurse has the responsibility of the comprehensive school health program, as well as being in charge of students with chronic health needs, and in my building, more than about approaching 50% of students have a chronic health need, then that also is going to impact how the school nurse is able to manage delivery. So the structure is different in school, the way school nurses can perform. The practice processes may be different, depending if you have 5,000 kids versus 298. And all of this makes it difficult to compare and contrast. But in Massachusetts, because we have those ESHS schools, we're able to look at practice processes because they're very similar and the delivery model is the same in all. So I was able to look at the school nurse activities and then align them with the school wellness policy implementation. And I looked at promoting physical activity, healthy eating, and collaborating with staff to promote physical activity and healthy eating to measure the BMI, which school nurses in Massachusetts have done since 2005, before the school wellness policy was implemented, and then these nurses have to provide this data. So the unit of analysis was the EHSH school district. We had the structured delivery model. We had the practices. We have a sample of 62 school districts in Massachusetts. It's only 6.6% of the 361 school districts in Massachusetts, but it did have 25% of the student population in those 62 school districts because there were a lot of cities. And as I said earlier, the data are available online. The definitions, well, the level of implementation of the wellness policy, I just want to spend 1 minute on that. It was survey responses that I then summed and got a continuous variable of level of implementation, and then I broke it into categories to look at categorically how lower levels of implementation compared to higher levels. I did the same with school nurse activities, using that scale to look at lower level of school nurse activities versus upper level. And the absolute change is just the difference in the baseline compared to the 2008-2009. Income, race, and urban were also. So there's descriptive results. You can see that there was a lot of variation. You can see that the baseline percent obese was a little bit less than the rate of obesity in 2008-2009. So when I looked at the level of implementation, the it explained about the model explained about 65% of the variation in the absolute change in obesity, but unfortunately the level of implementation, although positively correlated with the change in obesity levels, was not statistically significant. However, school nurse activities were. So what does this mean in terms of partnering with public health? First of all, the grants that were available through the Department of Public Health were crucial to nurses being able to do this kind of nurse activities that specifically address obesity. When I looked at the lower levels of school nurse activities versus the highest levels, the activities that fell in the highest level, the highest third and the highest fourth level were statistically significant in associated with a about a 3% reduction in the rate of obesity. So it's something that is definitely on our radar. It's something that school nurses in Massachusetts know. We are able to do it. I'm not going to talk about the limitations of a secondary data analysis because my first colleague did that, and I certainly appreciate it. The second hypothesis was supported, although the first was not. And this tells us that we really need to look at what those school nurse activities are, what the delivery models were, and identify those school nurse activities that can really be looked at to reduce obesity in this country in their school children. So I know we're saving questions till the end. I want to thank you very much for your attention. There are references. Thank you.